This is Commons Cast, the official podcast of the Martha Rivers Ingram Commons at Vanderbilt University, featuring Q&A with the Dean, the Commons Calendar, and a first-year resident interviewing various humans of the Commons. Now, here's Q&A with Dean Melissa Grisolfi.
Hi, Doors. My name's Lauren, and I'm here with Dean Grisolfi for another episode of Q&A with the Dean. So how are you doing, Dean Grisolfi?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Awesome. Yay. Okay. So we just got through fall break, and I've kind of been reflecting a little bit, and I think for most of us freshmen, at least for me, these past few months have been some of the most eventful of our lives so far. So I was wondering, just looking back at the 4 years and plus a few months that you've been Dean of the Commons, how is this year compared to other years in terms of like out of the ordinary events or like new things that you've tried out?
Well, that is a good question. Almost every year that I've been dean has been different. So my first year as dean, obviously everything, I didn't know what was going on ever. So that was year one. And then year two was COVID. Last year, year three felt a little bit, no wait, this is my fifth year. I've had five, I'm losing track of the years. Third year, last year was year four, and that actually felt like we were really into a routine. So what's been different about this year? That's a good question. Things that I've been in charge of, we've been trying to do a little bit differently. And so, for example, we have this Explore Nashville series where we're trying to do more field trips, and that's something actually we've tried before, we have done before, but not quite as frequently. And in particular, there's a trip, which I know you were supposed to be on, which we didn't get to do because I was sick, where we were going to go backpacking. But that even though, and it was very sad that we had to cancel it, but that trip actually, even in its canceled form, was really informative to me because Professor Pendergrass and I sort of dreamed that up last year thinking, no one is really going to want to do this with us. But in fact, there were like 60 people on the wait list for that trip. And I never dreamed that that many people wanted to like carry their night's provisions on their back in the wilderness in Tennessee. But in fact, they did. And so that is something that's really informing my thinking about what we might do in the spring. Spring in Nashville is tricky because there's a lot of rain. And so it's a little bit harder to plan outdoor events. And, you know, nobody wants to camp in the rain. Mm-hmm. But that's been a new thing, and it makes me realize we really need to do a lot more hiking and just like getting people off campus, and there's a lot of enthusiasm for it.
Yeah, I think that's super neat. And as you said, I signed up. I know a lot of other people who are pretty excited about it too. So I'm really grateful that you guys are offering that. And kind of along those lines, I was wondering about roller derby. So to me, that seems like kind of niche. Is that something that you're really into?
So I didn't go on the roller derby trip. First of all, it was happening when we were supposed to be backpacking. So I was never going to go. And then also then we didn't go backpacking because I was sick. So I was like dead in my bed. But I have only ever been to roller derby once, but it is so great. And it's such an inclusive sport. And it's also, I think it challenges a lot of stereotypes, right? So for people who don't know, roller derby is I don't even know how to describe it. People like competitively roller skate around a rink and try to like knock each other down. It's women. I've only ever seen women do it. I don't know if there are men who play roller derby. And what it's like very physical and tough. Like the first time I saw it, I thought this cannot be safe. But it also has this kind of performative aspect. So people have names, like special names, and they have costumes, and it's just wild. It is really inclusive, so you don't have to be gay to play roller derby, but it has always been inclusive of different sexual orientations just as a sporting community. And it's hard, right? It's really hard to roller skate and go fast. And so it's actually always been something that I loved. But that was not my idea, the roller derby one. That was the director of Upper Division Experience. Her name is Roshonda Ross Orta. That was Ro's idea. And it was another really popular one. And the people who went said it was amazing.
Yeah, I heard really good things just about like the whole night too. So that's super cool. Do you have a favorite sport? Or, like, do you spectate sports a lot?
So I personally am not big into sports. The sport that I best understand is basketball, only because I did play it a lot in middle school, not well, but I went to a school where everybody had to play a sport and everybody got to play a sport. So basketball, I really enjoy watching because I sort of get what's going on. And I love going to women's basketball at Vanderbilt, especially during winter break, because there's not as many people there. And then I feel like I'm really getting, you know, to really watch what's going on. Mm-hmm. My family is obsessed with soccer. So we have season tickets to the Nashville Soccer Club. And that is a thing that my husband and my son really, really love. My daughter likes it, but I really like the walk from where we park the car to the soccer stadium. Like, that's my favorite part. But, and I like, you know, that they're all excited. But it's like soccer for me is like boring and confusing with a side of excitement. And that's basically how I feel at every soccer game. My son plays soccer. He loves it. So I wish I loved it more.
I think that's a very good description. I played soccer too in like middle school and high school. But I honestly, this is super bad. Never got into spectating. I liked playing, but it's just like, you know, there's definitely a learning curve to it. So,
I mean, I now understand offsides and, sometimes I even notice it for myself, but it was like years before I really understood what that was about. And I will say as a spectator at a soccer game, they never narrate their calls. The refs, it's just like a whistle is blown and a thing happens. And every time I'm like, what is happening? And this is why I like basketball. When there's a problem, the ref like does this little motion. It lets you know what the whistle was about. And I feel like I am one with the game. But soccer, it is a mystery.
Yeah, no, I think that's totally true. I've definitely found myself in situations where I was playing and didn't know what happened. So. Wow, this is, yeah, getting very personal here for me too. But yeah, I guess that's all for the big questions. But I do have one final one, which is just kind of like an either or, this or that. Apple cider or hot chocolate?
Hot chocolate.
Okay, great. Awesome. Any reason why?
Well, so it's funny. This is a huge debate in my household right now between my two children. Ansel prefers hot chocolate. Annika prefers apple cider. Hot apple cider has always made me feel, I think it tastes delicious, but it never sits well with me. It always upsets my stomach, which makes zero sense because it's not like there's more sugar in apple cider than in hot chocolate, but there you have it.
Okay. I'm going to side with you on that one. And with that, thank you so much for your time. And thanks to all our listeners. This has been Q&A with the Dean, and keep listening for Commons Calendar and Human of the Commons. Have a good week.
Hi guys, happy almost Halloween. I'm Sophia, and I'm hosting this week's Commons Calendar covering events from the 25th to Halloween. Up first, we've got Informed Citizenry on October 25th, noon to 3, hosted by Women in Government, the National Black Law Student Association, and Delta Sigma Theta. Come for free Chick-fil-A and discussions on local politics at the Black Cultural Center patio. Vanderbilt Community Garden is hosting a Halloween pumpkin carving event on the 25th in Alumni Lawn at 5 p.m. So show up for some good spooky vibes and free jack-o'-lanterns. Polished neckties and nail polish is happening on the 26th from 5 to 7, hosted by LGBTQI Life and Owen Out and Allied at the KC Potter Center. It is an event for queer students to learn how to look fancy and be fearless in your own queerness, as described by the anchor link page. All supplies are provided, but you can bring your own. The Nashville Make Hers Market is on the 27th from 12 to 3 on Alumni Lawn, hosted by Women in Business. 10% of the proceeds go to Thistle Farms, which ensures access to safe and supportive housing, financial independence, and a lifelong community of support for female survivors of trafficking, prostitution, and addiction. Also on the 27th is the West End Neighborhood Fall Festival, notably at West End Neighborhood, who would have guessed, from 5 to 7. Come for activities, food, and a costume contest. Also on the 27th is the Witch's Kitchen. It's an escape room hosted by the Themed Entertainment Association. The Anchor Link page has a Calendly link to reserve a spot. There are spots from 11 to 7, and groups of 1 to 6 can have 45 minutes to try to escape the witch's kitchen. So they play as Hansel and Gretel. Hallow Halloween is happening on the 28th from 12 to 2. It's hosted by the Philippine Intercultural Student Association at the Multicultural Community Space. Enjoy Hallow Hallow and play games for fun prizes. On the 29th is a dumpling making karaoke party hosted by the Vanderbilt Undergraduate Student Chinese Student Association at Community Events Bay 108. It's happening again on the 29th from 3:30 to 5:30. So come for some rockin' Chinese tunes and dumpling making. So fun. Okay. Then on the 30th, their Vanderbilt Tango Club is hosting a tango class and practice at Rand Dining Hall from 7 to 8. So it's beginner friendly and a lot of fun. It's a great skill if you want to impress someone, like, you know, so show up, have fun. And then of course the 31st is Halloween. There are lots of events going on, but I want to challenge you guys to make your own events. There are also like 5,000 Halloween parties hosted by the fraternities and sororities on Halloween weekend if you want to go to that. So that's all for this week's Commons calendar, but be sure to tune in next week. Up next is Sariha for Human of the Commons. Amazing. I love Sariha. She's gonna do great. Okay. See ya.
Hi guys, I'm Sariha Muhammad and I'm here with the Humans in the Commons podcast. I'm here with a special guest today. Can you introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Tenin Dumbele. I'm a fellow freshman and a proud Gillette resident.
Slay. can you tell us your major or like how's, yeah.
So as of right now, my major is a mystery to us both.
Yeah.
But, you know, my classes are going.
How is I know you take chem and everything, like how is that going?
It's not impossible.
Yeah.
It just demands a lot of work and I'm not doing anything else, so you know, I'm putting in the time.
True. I had some questions for you today because I remember us talking, I don't know when it was, like a few weeks ago, and I think we were like in Roth or something, and we found out that we both love books. If you guys don't know, I'm like kind of a book fanatic or whatever, and I just love all types of books. My favorite ones are like romance.
Same here, girl. And
stuff. I'm gonna ask you, like, because I've read some books. I don't know if you read the same ones. I just want to know like which ones you read. Like, have you read Twisted Love?
I have. Not my favorite.
Okay.
Not my favorite. I know it's very hyped up, especially with the book talk community.
Yeah.
I just didn't connect to it.
True. I was like, I haven't read it in a while, and I decided to like pick it up yesterday, and I realized how cringy it was. I don't know. Like yesterday, I was like, you know what? Let me just pick up. I haven't read in so long, and like ever since I came here, I'm just like, you know what? Let me just pick up a book and read it. And I was just like, wow. What? But it's like overhyped kind of. But I won't say it's a bad book. It's like it's an okay book.
I mean, I could see why people like it. It's definitely the type of book to get hyped up on talk. So sure. The people that do like it, like I guess I get it.
Yeah, I get it too. Like at first I was like in love with, I'm like, oh my god, yes. But like now I'm just like, I haven't read it in a while, and like, you know, when you haven't read a book in a while, you just like pick it up and you're just like, oh, okay. But yeah, like tell me some of your favorite books.
Okay, so this is controversial. Colleen Hoover, It Ends With Us.
Yeah.
I loved the book. I know that book itself is controversial. The author is controversial, but I feel like Colleen Hoover achieved something in writing that book that is very hard to achieve. She basically puts the reader in the shoes of somebody who is in an abusive relationship,
yeah,
which is a really hard thing to do. She humanizes the victim and really shows the layers and the dynamics and how hard it is to actually get out of the situation.
Yeah, yeah. How would you say Colleen Hoover like portrayed the complexities of like abuse relationships in the story?
By telling a holistic story. So basically, we are introduced to the male person in the relationship. Yeah. I don't want to call him a love interest, but at first that's what he... Look at me, am I spoiling?
No, go for it.
But yeah, we're introduced to him and like we fall in love with him too.
Yeah.
With along with the character. And then when things, you know, end up going left, I'm not going to say how, we go through that with the narrator, with the main character. And it's a mental battle for the reader. It's a mental battle for the main character. And we're just there along with her. And that's how Colleen Hoover teaches us a lesson about how it actually could be in real life.
Yeah, yeah. Can you share your thoughts on the main character's decisions and how they evolve throughout the book?
I'm proud of her. Okay. Like, I feel as if she became my friend.
Yeah.
And again, I don't want to say too much.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think everyone should read this book. But I felt very proud of her, and I felt hopeful for every person who picks up the book to be able to learn from her final decision.
So why would you think like the book is so controversial? Like it sounds like so good right now.
So I don't know exactly why Colleen Hoover is controversial. Yeah. I have to educate myself more, but in terms of the actual book It Ends With Us, since it I guess people see it as being marketed as a romance. But we start to learn about toxic relationships.
Yeah.
And so people had an issue with like romance being attached to something that talked about toxic relationships because they were like, it's kind of romanticizing.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't see it like that.
Yeah.
But I could see how somebody could see it like that.
Yeah. So that brings me to my next question. Like, what impact do you think this book has on raising awareness about toxic relationships?
I'm sorry, could you please repeat your question?
I said, what impact do you think this book has on raising awareness about toxic relationships?
The impact that the book has in raising awareness about toxic relationships is educating about them in a way that's engaging to the reader, in a way that really touches your soul. And puts you in the story and not just as a fly on the wall. It's very strategic. It's very beautiful to read it and see it happen.
Yeah, you guys should go read that. Yes. So can you tell us about another book? I know you told me about Act Your Age by Act Your Age, Eve Brown by Talia Hebert. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah. So this book was really interesting to me because not only did it have black representation of like a strong, playful black woman, but it also had autistic representation. So I loved this book because Eve Brown is a young woman who is kind of struggling to figure out what she wants to do with her future. She's dealt with failure so many times, and failure is something that we can all relate to. But she ends up finding something that she likes. She tries something new, and she ends up finding love because, you know, if it doesn't have romance, I'm not reading it. And the male love interest is autistic.
Yeah.
And you don't see that often. You don't see neurodiversity in romance novels. But I thought it was truly beautifully done, and he wasn't introduced as like a autistic character, but a character with autism. So Talia Hibbert did a good job of showing all of his layers. And there's a plot twist, but I'm not gonna say it, so
don't say too much.
It's just beautifully done.
That also brings me to the question, like, how does the book handle the representation of autism autistic characters and their experiences?
So the male love interest, mm-hmm. who is autistic, that's not the only facet of his identity.
Yeah.
She introduces so many layers to him, and you feel like you really get to know him as a holistic individual. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's very important. Because an autistic person, autism is not all of their identity. And Talia Hibbert does a good job of illustrating that.
In what ways does the story address the challenges and confusion that many young adults face in their lives?
Eve Brown is so talented and bright. She has so much energy but does not know where to put it.
Yeah.
In this book, I saw myself, and maybe other people will see themselves, because I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I don't know where I'm going. And there can be a lot of pressure. Like, there's pressure from her parents. That's why it's called Act Your Age, telling her to grow up. And that's not always as easy as it seems.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So we see in Eve a lot of growth, a lot of self-discovery. And I really learned that everyone needs to have grace with themselves and have the courage to try something new so that you can actually learn about yourself.
And it's okay to be confused right now, especially for like if you're a first year college student, it's definitely okay to be confused. You don't have to know everything right now. But like, I feel like society and everything like implements that we need to know. But it's totally fine. So what do you appreciate most about the diversity and representation in this book, particularly in terms of race and neurodiversity? And you were talking about it,
I thought it was really cute. We don't see Black women being romanticized a lot.
Yeah.
Being the love interest. Mm-hmm. And this book does it so well. Like, from his point of view, the male love interest, he would, like, talk about how beautiful her box braid were. And I was like, oh, my God. You know, and, like, the smell of, like, cocoa butter. It was very beautiful to me to see that written and to read that.
Yeah.
Because we don't often see it. The male love interest, I did not mention, he's white. But again, that interracial couple, it was good to see them. They weren't just an interracial couple. Yeah. Like, they were a couple who just happened to be Black and white. And I already talked about how Talia Hibbert really illustrates the male love interest as a multifaceted human being, you know, instead of just somebody with autism.
Now it makes me want to read it. So there's another book you talked about, The Love Principle by Anna Hugo. I love her. How does this book actually tell us about the book actually first?
Okay, so The Love Principle by Anna Huang was just a shock to me reading it. The main female, I keep saying the main female love interest, because I read these books, I remember how they made me feel, but I forget these characters' names.
Yeah.
So the female is a really talented violinist, but she's having like a block, which we could all relate to with anything that we've ever done. And so we go through her story with that, but God, there's so much to explain. She has a boyfriend who wanted to break up for a little bit so that he could, you know, like, see other people to see if he actually wants to marry her.
That's weird.
Okay. So with that, she's like, I bet you want to do that. I'll do that too. So then introducing the actual male love interest, who is Kwan. I can't forget him. he is... What is he teaches kids karate. You know, he teaches kids karate, and he has a brother who is autistic, which comes into play later in the story. I'm not going to spoil that.
Yeah.
But again, this book has Asian representation, so I have actually never read a romance with two Asian characters together. Yeah. And I learned a lot about Asian culture through it. And, like, I think it was Vietnamese. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so some lines would be in Vietnamese and then translated, which I thought was very cool. I love languages. But, yeah, Asian representation and autistic representation, diversity is key. And, you know, I love it.
Yeah, you were talking about this, but how does this book provide representation of Asian character with autism, and how does it contribute to the story?
One of the characters, I'm not going to say who, discovers that they have autism.
Yeah.
And they're Asian. Mm-hmm. And throughout their life, they had noticed that they think differently than other people and that they behave differently than other people and that they struggle with certain things. Yet their family members would kind of like brush it off.
Yeah.
No, POC,
yeah,
no. So they kind of brush it off. But when this character is officially diagnosed, it is a shock.
Yeah.
It is like
a shock within the family or a shock within like.
Within that person.
Within that person, you know? Okay.
And then when they tell their family, it's like, oh, you know, we don't really like, oh, like, you know.
Yeah.
So. That shows a very realistic representation of a family that I don't want to say is ignorant to it, but is just not very receptive to neurodiversity.
What themes or messages about love and relationship did you find most compelling in this novel?
Oh my goodness. Love happens when you least expect it, but also it's not just like a pop-up event.
Yeah,
it's never giving up. It's trying again and again and again and again. Like, if you read the book, you'll think it's really funny that I'm describing it this way.
Yeah,
but really it's trying over and over again. And you don't just focus on what your partner can provide for you, but what you can provide for your partner.
100%. Yeah, I'm still trying to understand this concept of love, but, like, we're not there yet. So I have more questions, but I know you had, like, one more book you wanted to talk about, and it's called A Very Large Expanse of Sea by, how do you pronounce the authors?
Tahira Mafi?
Tahira Mafi, yeah.
I don't know if that's it, but that's how I've been saying it. I should probably search it up.
Yeah.
Tahira Mafi is famous for her series, Shatter Me. That's what, right? You've heard of it, right?
Yeah, I heard it.
People talk about that like it's everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard that. I still have yet to read it, but this is the first one of her books that I read, which is A Very Large Expanse of Sea. And I found it so interesting. Again, like the pattern with all these books that I want to talk about is representation that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
So here you have a visibly hijabi Muslim girl going to school in America after 9/11. The book shows the struggles that she faces in her day-to-day life from her teachers, from her peers, from random strangers on the street that someone who doesn't have the identity wouldn't know about.
Yeah.
She finds love because, again, if it don't have romance,
we ain't reading it. We ain't reading it.
I forgot how she meets him. His name is Ocean.
Ooh, a okay.
Okay. You know, a very large expanse of sea.
Yeah.
Ocean. And he's a nice character. He's a very kind character, and they quickly build a bond.
Yeah.
She kind of struggles with, I'm so different.
Yeah.
Why do you even want to be around me? Like, this happens to me, that happens to me. You don't want to be around that. And he's kind of like, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And I will say, she's not the perfect Muslim character.
Yeah.
So if you want to learn about how to be the perfect Muslim girl, you know, and of course, never judge, but I will be real about that aspect of it. But she is a real girl, and she's confident in her identity as a Muslim, which I think is so important in the media.
Yeah.
It's it's a beautiful story about like her journey through this school, which she's new to.
Yeah.
And her experience versus her brother's experience, you see the difference. And it's very educational, and it's a beautiful love story. And Tahira Mafi, when it comes to writing, this lady is so talented.
She eats it up every time.
So what did you think? I know you talked about this, but like, what did you think of the portrayal of the Muslim girl's confidence and her romantic relationship with a white guy?
Yeah, so usually when we see Muslim girls, especially those who wear the hijab, yeah, falling in love with a white guy particularly, he becomes like a savior,
yeah,
for her, to save her from Islam.
Like, do you see Netflix representation of, oh God, okay.
Yeah.
But
that doesn't happen in this. I don't see that in this book. He doesn't try to change her at all, which I think is beautiful. And she herself, like, she's a boss lady. Let's, like, when you get to know this character, you want to know her.
Yeah.
She's powerful. she's a powerful girl.
Yeah. Yes, like, imagine being in her shoes, like. And then that brings me to my next question. Like, how does the book explore the challenges and prejudices faced by Muslim girl wearing hijab post 9/11? Like,
her teachers would say things in front of the whole class. So not only was she depicted as, like, a terrorist, yeah, but also not intelligent.
Yeah.
And it was, like, everybody was in on this. And she had no safe place to turn.
Yeah.
If she told, oh, maybe you're thinking too much into it, like, you didn't mean it like that. The struggles that she faces, but the good part that I did like, her family,
yeah,
was really supportive. Of course, they too, you know, they are immigrant parents.
Yeah.
And for them, it was like, you know, your struggles are not really as hard as mine.
Yeah.
But she did have a very strong father figure, mm-hmm, in her life, which I thought was very beautiful. But yeah, the struggles that she faced as a hijab wearing girl after 9/11 was at school, with her peers, with strangers on the street. There was really no safe place for her except home.
Okay, in what ways does this book challenge stereotypes and offer a fresh perspective on Muslim representation in literature?
Oh, wow. In this case, the white boy is not a savior. yeah. She's not waiting to be saved. She doesn't hate her faith and is waiting to, like, leave. She is very strong in it, and she's constantly discussing, you know, what the hijab means to her and why she loves it so much,
yeah,
which is really beautiful when you read it and what it actually means to her. I don't want to say too much, but she's a strong character, which is not what you see a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, we'll wrap it up for today, but I just want to know your ratings on the books. Like, what would you rate each of these books that we talked about?
Like, in order?
In order, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, let me find my list. I don't know why it's not. Okay, so number one would have to be It Ends With Us by Colleen Hoover.
Okay.
I just feel like the message is so, so profound. I loved it.
Yeah.
Number two, The Love Principle.
Okay.
Yeah, because the plot is just so, like, I can't believe I'm reading about this right,
yeah,
now. Three would be A Very Large Expansive Sea.
Okay.
And four would be Act Your Age, Eve Brown.
Why?
Because as beautiful as it was, it didn't keep me as engaged as the other ones.
Okay.
Now, with actor age Eve Brown, Eve Brown has two other sisters who have their own romance books.
Oh, okay.
So I read about Chloe's story, which is also really good. But basically, all of these are phenomenal books, but just because I have to give one the worst rating, it would have to be Eve Brown. I'm sorry.
But she recommends all of them, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you guys should go read all the books that Tenen just talked about. And that wraps it up for the Humans of the Commons interview recording. See you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Commons Cast is produced by My Commons Life, a division of student media at Vanderbilt, in cooperation with the Office of the Dean of the Ingram Commons. Subscribe to Commons Cast at Apple Podcasts or via your favorite podcast app.